will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
To the downside of venture capital.
People said, well, don't sweat the small things. Well, I guarantee if you don't sweat the small things, the big things are going to become a mess.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
Don't want to wait until you jump off the cliff to grab a parachute.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host. Welcome to a special edition of the Tough Things First podcast with Ray's series, Essential Leadership. I'm your guest host, Rob Artigo, writer and investigator in California. Hello again, Ray.
Hi, Rob. So good to be with you today.
Welcome to everyone listening to this podcast. It's great to have Ray with me again to chat a little bit about essential leadership. Ray, you've written that trying to start a company is like playing Russian roulette with five of six chambers loaded. I don't like the odds there. And so statistics, you've said, show that 9 out of 10 startups fail within the first three years. Why is that?
Well, because they lack the training and the understanding of what it takes to run a company. So it's kind of like somebody who wants to go into medicine or into surgery and hasn't studied how to be a good surgeon.
Yeah, you can't just say that I slept at a Holiday Inn last night and that was enough. And I think that some people get into businesses and basically that's all they've done. Your philosophy, though, of course, is that to beat those odds, which are so bad, that you really need to start with your education and take 4 college classes. You say everyone needs to take basic accounting, financial and managerial accounting, business law, and basic economics. Why do you think those are the 4?
Well, because that's the essentials of understanding how to run a company. You know, there's a thing called the income statement and a balance sheet that every company has to understand. And so basic accounting and financial and managerial accounting, those are 2 separate classes, help teach you how to learn and how to interpret an income statement and a balance sheet. An income statement, of course, is the statement that talks about your earnings, what your revenues were, what your expenses are, and what income you received from that particular effort. So that's the income statement. Then that flows into the balance sheet. The balance sheet talks about your assets and liabilities and your net worth, and they flow together. And so understanding how they work, how they flow together, how to do a cash flow statement is all part of basic accounting and financial and managerial accounting. And so, you know, if you don't know how to do cash flow, you know, the gazintas and the gazoutas, as they say, you're just not going to be able to read and interpret how your business is doing. That's the purpose of taking the classes, basic accounting and financial and managerial accounting. And then the third one was business law. We live in a very litigious society, and there's no doubt in my mind that sometime during your running the company, you're going to run into some legal problems, contract law, certain other aspects of how to run a business from a legal point of view are all part of being successful in running your company. And then basic economics is understanding supply and demand. I mean, right now, you know, the country is going through a severe inflation. Demand is far outstripping supply, and we got ahead of ourselves. We actually increased the demand before we increased the supply, and that causes severe inflation problems. And the converse is true. If your supply is excessive, your demand, then prices fall and you have deflation. And so just understanding basic economics, as they say, supply and demand theory, then that helps you also understand how to look forward in running your company. And running Micrel for the 37 years that I ran it, I went through 8 downturns. You know, just being able to forecast those downturns, which really helped us out tremendously, allowed us to get ready and prepared for that down cycle. And that's key to, again, like we talked about, you know, the having playing Russian roulette with 5 out of 6 chambers loaded, you know, you are going to have a downturn. You know, we're potentially facing a downturn in our country right now, just because inflation is now so rampant. And demand is outstripping supply. The last thing we want to do is increase more demand, because all you're going to do is just keep hammering the supply side. And, you know, we have delivery problems and other things that are plaguing us because shortages are more the rule than having excess supply. Excess supply.
So anyway, well, I think that we can go back to each one of these individually, in each one of these subjects, college subjects, individually, and break them down a little bit more. It might seem a little bit repetitive, but we'll just, you know, underscore how important those things are. But let's go back for a second, just so I could look at, you know, I see examples of young people who want to be entrepreneurs, and they have lots of examples of successful business owners out there who boast either that they dropped out of college or didn't attend college at all. Does that make you cringe when you see that, or you see people skipping this step, which is just these basic four classes?
Well, remember, we talked about 9 out of 10 companies fail in the first 3 years, and that's because they just lack that understanding. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't beat the odds, but why play with Russian roulette with 5 of the chambers loaded? Sure, you could end up on that one cycle on that chamber that was not loaded. Tell that to Alex Baldwin, you know.
Yeah.
You know, accidents do happen. So if you want to play the game of running a company and you're just going to say, I'm going to bet the farm, I'm going to chance it. Well, fine. I mean, sure, there are people who are able to succeed without having those basic, the basic understanding of those principles. Some people, of course, hire their team, and some members of their team understand it. But again, when you start your company, you don't have all that talent. You don't have the economist, the lawyer, and the accountant, and so forth. And even if you did, if you don't understand what they're saying or how they're saying it, then of course you as a leader are going to falter. And that's the challenge. That's the problem.
So financial and managerial accounting will end up being perhaps, you know, two separate classes, and now there people out there, some of those people out there might roll their eyes and go, oh my God, I don't want to do financial and managerial accounting. But you hit on a very important point. Understanding the language of accounting,
right,
is important. It's as important as any other aspects of accounting.
Right. Well, basic accounting and financial and managerial accounting are two separate classes. So financial managerial accounting are the study of balance sheet, income statements, core studies of companies than how they run their company. And so it's more of a case study type class, whereas basic accounting is debits and credits and, you know, just doing transactional accounting. Because if you really can't do well with financial and managerial accounting until you have basic accounting. So you take it first, then you take financial and managerial accounting. And it's just like, if you don't understand it, you know, looking at it, won't make any sense. And then you won't be able to do cash flow. Having an understanding and ability to do a funds flow statement or cash flow is extremely important in running your company.
Business law. You mentioned the fact that the simple act of doing business has pitfalls when it comes to potential legal ramifications. And you said contract law, and there's all kinds of disputes that can come up here. What kinds of things are we expected to learn in a business law class?
Okay, so when you think of tort law or, you know, just constitutional law, there are fundamental points of law that you learn in business law that help you understand when you do run into a legal problem. And you, of course, you want to avoid them. And that's one advantage you have if you take the class of business law. That basic understanding will help you stay out of trouble, because that's the cheapest thing. You know, anytime you get into a legal battle, you know, it's just astronomically expensive. And so, you know, you want to avoid at all costs, you want to avoid a legal dispute or legal problems. And generally this comes up in contract law. You didn't understand the contract. You didn't administer the contract successfully. Even though you've created a contract and it's written and it's in your file folder, you know, when you operate your company, if you have a basic understanding of contract law, you won't make the mistakes without having to constantly drag out that document and keep reading through it. And, okay, now what about this? What about that? You know, I just talked to a friend yesterday who signed an agreement to go in business with a company on a golf course. He didn't read the fine print because the contract in so many words said that the primary shareholder could ask you to leave at any time for any reason. And so, you know, he was so excited about getting into that business that he didn't read the fine print, as they say. Once he got helped out and got the business running, then the primary shareholder said, I don't want you around anymore. And he lost a lot of money on that one. Wow. And you probably run into those experiences yourself where, if you don't understand what you're doing, understand contract law, you can lose a lot of money.
Yeah. And I think, it could come down to just one line. Everything could be perfect through there. And even an experienced contract lawyer could miss one line if they're going about their business haphazardly. But you go in through that contract and you read it, and there's that one little thing in there that you missed. And that one little thing in there is what undoes you later on because you just didn't treat the contract seriously. And I think that you take this class, and one of the things you walk away from is a little tinge of fear that should be there, because you should fear doing things haphazardly, particularly when it comes to contract law.
Well, and that's the key here. That's if you understand basic law, they flow together. They make sense. They're logical, and so understanding how law works, you can apply it, even though you may not know every detail. If you see a lawyer's bookcase, it's like, hundreds and hundreds of books stacked up there, and there's no way you're going to be able to study that much. But if you understand the basic principles of law, that will help you then when you formulate your contract or you operate your business, you'll stay clean.
Yeah. And like I said, sometimes you just find that one thing. And your example of the guy with the golf course, finding out there's just that one stipulation in there that says you can be, you could have your ties severed at any day without course. And then you don't have any way you're going to try to sue them. You agreed to it. And that's the biggest problem is understanding that, when you put something on paper and you sign it, and even verbal contracts can go that direction if you're not careful about what you're agreeing to.
Well, I asked him if he saw it, and he said, yeah, he saw it, but it didn't make any sense to him that the guy would be able to just say, hey, don't want you around anymore. And he just keeps your money and tells you to leave. So anyway, so you gotta read the fine print that if you don't, you're gonna end up in trouble.
Yeah. And the ramifications of that fine print, whatever those ramifications are. And you're in the past on these leadership podcasts, we talked about being able to look at the various outcomes and come up with, okay, what are the things that could go wrong? And if you are asking those kinds of questions for a line like that, you ask the right questions to the right person, the contract lawyer, hopefully. And the contract lawyer can just tell you, these are the possible ramifications of this. And if you're not comfortable with it, have them change it. Because you can change contracts and people will say they either like it or they don't like the change, but you can't walk into a situation with potentially losing millions and without properly vetting the contract.
Well, I had a situation come up where I was buying a large asset and my lawyer was looking over the contract and said, you don't want to be dealing with this contract. There was the contract falters, you don't want to be dealing with California law. You want to deal it with Montana law. And so, cause it's more difficult, for you if you have to go to California and then take care of that legal matter in California versus if in your own state. So he said, here, let's move it to Montana. And he did that. And that worked out great.
And it goes to where people do, you know, you get advice on where to incorporate to, where is your corporation?
Exactly.
Where's your corporation based and that sort of thing. We've been discussing essential leadership in this Tough Things First series, Essential Leadership. As always, you can reach out to Raise In with your questions at toughthingsfirst.com. Continue your education and this conversation with all of the podcasts, blogs, and links to information about the book, Tough Things First, and Raise Other Books, The Zen of Zen, and the new Zen of Zen 2. These are collections of writings on interrelated topics of entrepreneurship, leadership, management, discipline. And we've discussed some of those here in this series. So join us next time for episode 7 in this series, Essential Leadership. Thanks again, Ray.
Hey, Robin, we have now Zen of Zen 3. It'll come out probably mid-summer. And so we actually have the third book of Zen of Zen coming out. So again, we keep it rolling and hopefully our listeners will pick up our books.
That's
so
great.
Again, thanks, Rob.
Yeah, awesome. Congratulations, too. You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.